Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cammie Berthium, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Well, the Maronite Church is an eastern branch of the Catholic Church that has its very own liturgy, canon law, and patriarch. We are blessed to have a Maronite parish residing within our own archdiocese, a couple of them, in fact. Today, we're sitting down with Core Bishop Charbel Maroon of St. Maron's Church in St. Paul in Minneapolis to share about the first Patriarch's Feast Day, the Feast of St. Maron, happening February 9th. Core Bishop Charbel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. Good morning to you and to all your listeners and all the loving people of Relevant Radio.
Yeah, wonderful to have you with us yet again. And I think since, you know, we passed Epiphany not too long ago, and we were going to have initially, our listeners know, because we had talked you up, but then I know you were called away last minute. We were going to have you on to talk about Epiphany, but I just want to hit again how significant of a day January 6th is in your life. Can you just run us through that history again?
Well, it's the day of the baptism of Jesus, the original Christmas. I was born also on January the 6th, and I was ordained a priest on January the 6th, and I was elevated Monsignor on January the 6th, and also ordained a core bishop on January the 6th. So it is a very special day.
Okay, so let me just ask you, Abuna, what day do you think you're going to die on?
I hope January 6th. I hope one or the January 6th is in the future, God willing.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you're canonized, your feast day will be January 6th, yeah? So we'll just wrap it all the way up.
Well, that's in God's hand, God willing.
Exactly. And just give us a brief description once again. I know a lot of, if they're just meeting you for the first time, a lot of our listeners will have the question, what exactly is a core bishop? Can you just give us briefly what that is again?
A core bishop, you know, in the original terms, in the early centuries of the church, was like a country auxiliary bishop, somebody who represented the ordinary in the countryside. You know, in the past year in the Twin Cities, there were like four vicariates, you know, with four auxiliary bishops. So he's a bishop, but without authority, if you want to say. And the core bishop cannot ordain priests or deacons. He can ordain minor orders only.
Okay. All right.
He dresses like a bishop, but he doesn't have the authority of the bishop.
Got it. Okay. Wonderful. All right. So let's get into the. I know we've done this before with you, Abuna, but I want to get into again the differences between, or tell us about the Maronite liturgy, the Maronite traditions, how we can grow in our understanding of the Maronite Church.
Well, the Maronite is a very important part of the Catholic Church. There is one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and this church has 23, sometimes 24 branches. There are a couple that are from the West. The largest part of the Catholic Church is the Latin Rite, and then, of course, there is the rest of them that comes from the east of Rome. And they come, of course, from Antioch, Alexandria, Constantinople, and Rome, from these four major cities. The Maronites trace their origin back to Antioch. They trace their origin back to Saint Maron, a man who lived in the 4th century. He lived between 350 and 410 AD. And, you know, he lived a very simple life. He was a priest and a hermit. In northern Syria, near Antioch today in modern Turkey. And of course, Maron was known for his missionary work, for his healing miracles that he did, and for the teaching of a monastic way of life. And that was very familiar in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th century. And because of his holiness, he attracted many people. And they say that by the year that he died in 410, there were close to 800 monks and nuns, if you want to call them, you know, men and women who followed his way. They came to be known as the Beit Maron or the Maronites, and they followed this Syriac tradition, of the church, and that's where the Syriac language is also, because Syriac is the daughter of Aramaic, which is the same language that our Lord Jesus spoke. I wish I can tell you that Maron wrote many books, but he didn't write anything. We don't have any of his writings. And I don't think he intended to establish a church, but because of his holiness and for his attraction of so many people, there came that movement to be born around him, the monastic movement known later on as the Maronites. So 1612 years, and his movement still moving throughout the world. And it's a beautiful movement because the Maronite Church is a unique branch of the Catholic Church. sometimes humbly I say that it is the Cadillac of Catholicism, because it's the only branch of the Catholic Church that never had separation from Rome. Mm. It was born Catholic in the year 410, and it remained Catholic. So it doesn't have a counterpart of Orthodox or Protestant or other traditions. It is pure Catholic.
Yeah, nice. And where in the world would we find, outside of the Twin Cities, of course, where in the world would we find the highest concentration of Maronite churches?
Of course, Lebanon is where our patriarch resides, and the church in Lebanon, the Maronite church, has been there since the 7th century after the Muslim invasion of Syria, and they destroyed their monasteries and churches. They moved to Lebanon, and that's where the church was established strongly, and then the patriarch resides there. There are Maronites on every continent. You know, Australia, the United States, we have two dioceses in the United States, Canada and Europe, and the Middle East. You know, there are branches, there are dioceses in the Middle East, and you know, Latin America as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So spread through wide across the land, which is wonderful. And since we're blessed to have St. Maron's and Holy Family here in the Twin Cities, I'm just curious as to what if some of our Latin Rite Catholics might venture over to St. Maron's or Holy Family at some point, what can we expect if we were to attend a Maronite liturgy?
Well, first, I send an invitation to everyone to attend Holy Family Church or St. Maron's in Minneapolis, Mendota Heights in Minneapolis, because it's a unique experience. You know, you are able, you know, to witness the liturgy in an Eastern way, but at the same time, it is deep, but it is simple. It's very simple. You know, you'll be able to understand the liturgy quickly. You'll be able to you know, to hear lots of part of Aramaic, the Trisagion, the words of consecration, the call of the Holy Spirit that's used in the language that Jesus spoke. So when the priest carries the Eucharist at the consecration and says, Hono den itau fagro dil, he's using the same exact words that Jesus spoke with his apostles in the Last Supper. So they will be able to see, to hear lots of chanting. They will be able to smell lots of incense, and they will be able to witness beautiful music that traces back its origin to the 4th and 5th century.
Right, right. Just absolutely wonderful and amazing. I know my wife and I have been over at St. Maron's for a couple of liturgies over there, and we've just been blown away, Abuna, about how beautiful and holy and reverent it is. It's a wonderful experience. Although I will say this, I need to ask, for the sake of some listeners who might be considering it, how long does a Maronite liturgy usually last?
Probably the same length, a little longer than the Roman Catholic liturgy, probably about 1 hour. Usually.
Okay,
it's
all right.
Hour to hour and 5 minutes. So.
Right. We're not saying you have to take 3 or 4 hours out of your schedule.
No,
to go
no, you don't need to bring lunch with you.
Oh, but okay. Well, that's on to my next question, because I know that St. Maron's has a great tradition of having some feast days, some celebration days, some gala days where there's just outstanding Middle Eastern food there. So tell us, are you doing something special for the feast day of St. Maron coming up here?
No dinner this year, unfortunately, because of COVID and everything else. But we are celebrating the feast of St. Maron on the weekend of the 13th of February. The feast of St. Maron is February 9th. Mm-hmm. So this February 9th, it will be the 1612th anniversary of St. Maron, of his death. Our parish here in Minneapolis, you know, luckily, it was also born on February 9th. 1903. So 1903, a Maronite priest arrived to Minnesota and celebrated the first Maronite liturgy ever. So it was celebrated on the feast of St. Maron. And our little parish here in Minneapolis is the oldest in our diocese and the third oldest Maronite church in America after Boston and Philadelphia.
Wow.
So the Maronites came a long time ago to Minnesota.
Wow. It's great that that you're here. It's great that we have the opportunity to worship alongside you in geography as well as hopefully in person, too. Hopefully there's many people who take you up in your invitation, Abuna, as well. And we should say too. I just, in case anybody thinks that I'm insulting you by using the word abuna, that's what you prefer, is what I understand. Is that correct?
I love the word abuna because it means father, and you know, even the Pope is a father, and all the priests are fathers.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. I just wanted to make that clear in case don't want Paul to get any bad phone calls here at Relevant Radio. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So a couple things here, just in our few moments left together here. Abuna, first of all, if people are interested in learning more online about St. Maron, about the Maronite traditions, where could they go? Where would you steer them?
You know, a good source, they could start at the websites of the eparchies. So they could go to Google Eparchy of Our Lady of Lebanon of Los Angeles, and they will find lots of information. They could go to Eparchy of St. Maron of Brooklyn, New York, and they could go also to the websites of the Holy Family in Mendota Heights and St. Maron in Minneapolis, and they will find lots of information about the history and spirituality and liturgy of the Maronite Church. And they could learn about St. Maron, who was a simple man, but yet, you know, his fame spread throughout the Middle East and the world. And, you know, even in the 11th century, there was a monk who came to the Middle East, and he was collecting relics. And among the relics that he collected from Lebanon was the skull of St. Maron. And they took it to Foligno, which is near Cascia and Assisi in Italy. Mm. And he presented it to the bishop there, who accepted it, and he heard about Maron, and he built a cathedral. There's a cathedral in Foligno that's called St. Maron. And there is a monastery on the hill also called St. Maron. So in the year 2000, our Holy Father, St. John Paul II, you know, had a movement to remove the relics or part of the relics back to Lebanon. And he took part of that relics from in the year 2000 from Rome and took it back to Lebanon to Kfar Hay, where the original skull was there.
Mm. Wow.
So there is a connection between, even in Russia, there are some churches in the Russian Orthodox Church that they took also the name of Maron because of his reverence and because of his, you know, connection to the Middle East, and they also built a church in his name. Wow. And of course, from his branch comes the great saints. Among them, of course, is Saint Sherbel Makhlouf, who's known probably in every corner of the earth, and whose intercessions have created so many miracles on every corner of the earth.
Well, that's another thing for people to investigate on their own. I'm afraid we're out of time, Abuna, but St. Sherbel Makhlouf, look that one up on Google and find out more about him as well. Before we let you go, though, Abuna, could you please give us your blessing?
May the blessing of Almighty God come and descend upon all the listeners, all the people that work for Relevant Radio, and those who are spreading the word of God throughout the earth. May God continue to bless and protect you under the wings of his love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to whom be glory now and forever.
Amen. Abuna, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to talking with you again. God bless you.
God bless you, Patrick. Thanks so much.
All right. God bless you. Well, don't go away. Paul and I will be right back with some great ways to heat up your faith in the midst of the winter cold. We're back in 63 seconds.